Matthew chapter 9. I've been encouraged listening to some preaching this week on the Christ Life app, ministry app. You can pick out any message you want to. I go down the road and I'm kind of not supposed to be driving and looking at your phone, so I try to get down there and just hit one real quick and get it on, see who's on there. Listen to several things, preachers on there, and it was a blessing, encouragement to me. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. The Bible says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they say unto him, Yea, Lord. And then he touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they went, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again today. And just thank you for the folks here. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Lord, I'm thankful we can pray to you. You know our weaknesses, our needs. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts today. I pray each one here be encouraged. I pray that we can have faith to trust you, not only for our salvation, Lord, but for our day-to-day walk. Lord, that you can give us victory over sin, and we know you have and will if we put our faith and trust in you. And so I pray that we do that. Lord, understand who you are, what you are, what you can do. I pray you can work in our service today. Lord, you know the needs here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, What Kind of Faith Do You Have? I didn't get my notes up. Eileen wasn't here, and I just didn't give them to Damien. So what kind of faith do you have? You know, we see in our text, there was a couple of blind men that called on Jesus for healing. Blindness was a big problem in Jesus' day. I don't know whether it's a fact before sunglasses came along and you're in the sun, if you've ever been out in the sun a lot, and maybe that was a problem. There was at least six blind men that Jesus healed in the Bible there. And, of course, we know from other studies that we do that blindness is a picture. It's a good illustration of a spiritual truth of man being spiritually blind. In other words, you could have your eyesight and still be spiritually blind. And I think even as saved people, sometimes when we don't see everything all at once, that God kind of, you know, enlightens us is a term that's used. As we go along in our Christian life, we start gaining knowledge or understanding some things, and our eyes are opened to, you know, greater truths of God's word. And so we see this. I want to talk to you about faith in this sense. Three things today that you know, may or may not be a problem for you, some of them more than others, but three things. So I want to talk to you about saving faith, justifying faith, and living faith. And I think that's really where I was trying to go with this message, to get to living faith or walking by faith as a Christian. Now, Hebrews 11:1 gives us the biblical definition of faith, and it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The evidence of things not seen. Now that's a great illustration in Hebrews, or a definition of faith, especially with this text or the context of our text when Jesus is dealing with two men that are physically blind. There was nothing, you know, they hadn't seen anything. Someone said this, they said that hope is seeing light at the end of the tunnel. Faith is believing it's not a train. I mean, so hope is seeing light at the end of the tunnel. Faith is believing it's not a train when that's coming your way. You know, so faith we know is the opposite of fear. I see a lot of people operating in fear. It's amazing the amount of Christians that operate in the realm of fear, but we are humans too, right? We're still humans. I understand that. There's an old English proverb that I read that had to do with that. It said, "Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. No one was there." Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. No one was there. You know, half of the stuff we are afraid of is not a reality. You ever notice that? How many of you worry about a bunch of stuff that never comes true to start with? I mean, you're just thinking this could happen, this might happen. Boy, if this is going on, this is what I think's going on. And then when all the dust settles, none of it's None of it's right, huh? So we got to have faith. And so, you know, the very first thing I want to talk about, you know, saving faith. And, you know, along the lines of having faith, even faith in God, I want to say, you know, just because that we get into church, just because you get in a church service somewhere doesn't mean that you have any of these types of faith, that you have saving faith, justifying faith, and living faith. You know, just because we're at a worship service doesn't mean that you really have faith in God. Faith in God. I mean, you know, faith is, that's one of them words you hear it all the time, right? You have faith. You say, well, the topic's faith. And you say, well, I know all about faith. I'm going to tell you what, I don't believe we do know all about faith. I don't believe we have the kind of faith we think that we have. It's a great topic. So we see, I want to talk to you about saving faith. There was two blind men, and it said that they heard that Jesus was passing by. Now, obviously, they couldn't see Jesus passing by because they were blind. So they just heard that Jesus was passing by. Now, right before where I just read to you, and I didn't read it today, but there's two miracles that had taken place. You'll be familiar with them. One of them was the healing of Jairus' daughter. Jairus' daughter had a real big problem. She was dead. His daughter was sick, and she died, and Jesus went and raised her from the dead. Now, that's a pretty good healing right there. When you get dead, you're pretty far sick. You know, you're pretty far gone. And so here she was dead, and he raised her from the dead. Now, you know, even today, you don't hear about anybody raising anybody from the dead, right? I mean, we hear about things that the doctors do and things they do in the hospital, but there's not nobody raising anybody from the dead. It would be big news today. I'm going to tell you what. Now, you know, I could put some faith in somebody that does that. I think that's what these blind men were thinking. And the other one was the woman that had an issue of blood 12 years. She had been bleeding for 12 years, and just none of the doctors could do anything with her. And she had pressed through the crowd, reached out for Jesus, touched the hem of his garment. And, of course, you know the story, because of her faith in Jesus Christ, you know, that she was healed. And so, you know, that's how faith, you know, really works. And so they exercise what we call a saving or trusting faith that Jesus was able to take care of the problem that they had. Now, they had physical problems. I mean, when you're dead, you got a physical problem. You know, and bleeding for 12 years, you got a physical problem. Now, saving faith also, well, we all have another problem. If you don't have a physical problem, we do have the sin problem in that we're born sinners. And so if we put faith in Jesus Christ, he can take care of that sin problem as well. But we look at the blind men, as I said, illustrates it great. They hadn't seen anything. They didn't see Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. They didn't see the woman that had an issue of blood. They only heard about it. See, they only heard about it. Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's all they heard. You know, you think about it. A lot of people struggle with, you know, really getting saved. I mean, they struggle with that. I wasn't around when Jesus was crucified. I wasn't around when Jesus was resurrected. I wasn't around to see any of the miracles that we're talking about. But I'm going to tell you what, I got the Word of God. I've read the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. And, you know, I've got faith in this, that the Word of God is true. I put my trust in the Word of God. I didn't see it. I didn't see anything that went on, but I believe that this all happened. I believe that this all is true. And so I put saving faith. Faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. You got it? Faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. And so, you know, I think that brings us really, you know, to the next point. And I think this is where really the struggle is gonna begin. You know, the second thing we see is justifying faith, and that means the definition of that. I might have looked it up in the American Tract Society Dictionary. Said the justification means the being regarded and treated as if innocent, or acquittal from the consequences of guilt before the tribunal of God. The person who puts a true and living faith in Jesus Christ will be forgiven and treated innocent and holy. Now, a lot of people struggle with that. It's a one-time event. I want to say about justification, justified by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a one-time thing. You're justified. Once somebody says you're innocent, what if you sin tomorrow? You're still justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing changed. Now, I understand that repentance and faith go together. That you have, I believe that true saving faith produces good works. You know, you want to's change. You know, you want to do right. Do we always do right? Do we have to be re-justified if we're saved? No, we're saved. We're just justified. But, you know, either consciously, mostly subconsciously, I think people struggle with this where they always thinking, man, you know, I just got to, especially sometimes you get away from God. And you think, man, and you ought to do right. Don't get me wrong here. But you ought to do right. But, you know, there's got to be something else that goes with it. I've got to be saved and I've got to be baptized. I've got to have Jesus in baptism. I've got to be saved and I've got to join the church, Jesus and the church membership. I've got to be saved and I've got to do some good works. And so, you know, we kind of struggle with that, man, listen, I know that Jesus saved me. I get saved. I'm trusting him for my salvation. But being justified at one time, sanctification is another thing. Sanctification is an ongoing process. That's where we're conformed to Christ by his work and obedience. But justification, we're just justified. That's it. It's a one-time thing. I mean, Jesus knew that I wouldn't live a perfect life after he saved me. And so it had to be for everything in the future too. Romans 3:28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Listen to this carefully. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified, declared righteous, innocent, holy, by faith without the deeds of the law. Somebody asked me the other day, what about all them people that died before Jesus ever came on the earth? They got saved the same way. By the deeds of Abraham put faith in God. He's listed as one of the heroes of faith. Abraham had faith. His faith is what saved him. Faith is what saved him, not the deeds of the law. He didn't have the law because the law hadn't been given. God gave law to Moses. Moses hadn't come along in Abraham's day. But he had faith in God. There were people that had faith in God. Well, I was listening to a message yesterday when I played it for Sherry today. I was coming back from down Roanoke yesterday, so I got the thing on. Harold Vaughn was preaching about calling on God. About calling on God. And it's right there in Genesis chapter 4 where it says men began to call on God. Then they didn't have church. They didn't have the Bible. They didn't have no word of God. They didn't have any Old Testament scriptures. They didn't have a preacher. They didn't have anybody, but they called on God. Well, how do you call on God? You got to have faith. You can't call on something that you don't believe in. You can't call on somebody that's not there. There was people from Adam and Eve's on up, Adam and Eve on up, that put faith in God. Noah put faith in God. Noah put faith in God. You went down there and see the ark, right? God said, listen, Noah, this is what I want you to do, and Noah did it. That's putting faith in God. That's how you know you have faith in God, is when you do what God says. That's the evidence, but that's not how you get saved. And so we can't be justified. We're justified without the deeds of the law. All the law did was show us that we couldn't be justified by the law because nobody could keep the law. All the law does is say, see, look there, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. You broke the law. Yep, that's it, I'm a sinner. Convinces us that we're a sinner. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And like I said, I believe that faith and good works do go together. I believe that saving faith produces good works. It does. That's a good, you know, it's not perfect works. And I see people struggle with that. But here's the thing. And listen, it's healthy. The Bible tells us to make our calling and election sure. It's healthy. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. If you're out there living in sin, it's not a bad idea to start questioning and asking God, say, God, reveal to me if I'm really saved. Because I'm out here living in sin, and I don't care whether you got convicted about it or not. You say, well, I'm living in sin, but I do get convicted about it. I'm going to tell you what, though, if you're not convicted enough to start doing what God wants you to do, you have to start questioning whether you're really saved. Now, you're not saved by those works, but saving faith produces. I mean, them blind men, they disobeyed Jesus right off the bat. You ever know? Did you notice that? He said, listen, don't tell anybody about it. They ran out and told everybody. Huh? Unlike Christians today, Jesus says, run out and tell everybody, and we don't tell anybody. Huh? It's like kids. You ever notice kids, they always do the opposite. You got to use that child psychology. Huh? Maybe Jesus didn't do that with them or us. He said, don't tell nobody. They ran out and told everybody in the country, it said. He told us, he said, here's a great commission. Go out there and tell everybody about me. We don't tell anybody. Work with somebody 15 years. They don't even know you're a Christian. I mean, so they disobeyed Jesus right off the bat, but they weren't saved because of their good works. I think Jesus overlooked it. I think he overlooked it right there, or you know, he died for it. He didn't overlook it in that sense, but he did, do that. And so, listen, it's healthy to be, you know, to question yourself if you're not living according to God's word. It dictates of your heart. You know, the Holy Spirit's supposed to be guiding us living in our heart. I mean, yeah, you'd have to question your salvation. But now, listen, man, we slip off the old wagon every once in a while, fall, you know, and commit a sin, this and that and the other thing. Listen, we're not saved by that. That's why we had to have Jesus Christ. We had to have him die. So we have, but I think people do struggle sometime with justified by faith, by being justified by faith, that justification. And so we need to get that, you know, kind of nailed down, that we're not justified by any good that we do. That's not justified faith. And now I get to the point that I really, really wanted to talk about. Is living by faith. Living by faith, or kind of change that to walking by faith. This is what got me thinking about this message right there. Now, see, saving faith is one thing. A lot of people, you know, get saved. We'll trust Jesus for that. Man, I mean, you know, I didn't have any trouble. When I remember when I got saved, you know, and I had grown up believing that there was a God. I grew up believing in Jesus and Easter and everything. You know, I just didn't doubt that. I know a lot of people in my generation didn't. We heard that stuff. And, man, we used to even, you know, kindergarten, man, we sang God Bless America and had prayer. Imagine that. And marched in, and Mrs. Bowden would be playing the piano. Boy, and we got in single file, and we went in. We listened, too. We shut up when they told us to. We sat down. And, we grew up that way. And but, you know, they came to my house, and the pastor and another fellow and some guys, and they came about three times, and they started talking to me about being saved, you know, and I didn't know nothing about that. And but saving faith. So they said, okay, look, and the Bible says, they showed me that we're a sinner. We can't be saved by our own works. We can't be justified by our own works. That we have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. And it got the simple question. This is the one that got me. I think different than everybody else. He said, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and come into your life? No. That's what the Bible says you need to do. That's what I need to do. Okay? So I asked Jesus to come into my life. Now I had a lot of baggage. We don't need to go all into that because we're not here to glorify sin. We're here to lift up Jesus Christ. I had a lot of baggage. Now, how was God going to take care of all that? I had no idea. I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know nothing about walking by faith. I don't think that those people that we already read about that he helped, I don't think they knew anything about walking by faith. They knew that they needed to trust Jesus to take care of their problem. Whatever that, they had physical problems, and in every case, he always dealt with their sin problem too. They didn't know that. But now, how to live the life that God has called us to live through faith. Now, this is something, this is a different area right here. You know, walking by faith every day. It's amazing that we can trust Jesus for our salvation, but we can't trust him to live our everyday life that we, you know, we have to go through. The two blind men. Now, you know, you think about this. Right off the bat, it said in our text, when the Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. And so they followed him. Obviously, they're blind. They got somebody helping them, I'm sure. I don't think they had seeing eye dogs in those days and whatever they had. They were blind. Somebody helped them. But they followed after Jesus. This is what they want. I remember reading here just a while back. I was reading about Duncan Campbell was questioned years after the Welch Revival. And the Welch Revival was an amazing thing. I mean, there was people that said they were out. They went out in the fields. They'd have meetings at a church at night. And God would show up. And then people would get done with the preaching and that. And they would get on their knees before God, fall down and pray. They would go out in fields and stuff at night, spread all around. And didn't even know what was going on with anybody else. It was just them and God. I mean, God got a hold of people, I should say. And also people got a hold of God. And one man went up to another man and he said, man, did you see it? He said, did you see all the people that was out all over the fields? And that guy said, man, I didn't see nothing but God. I didn't see anything but God. He was so focused on God. Well, they were asking Duncan Campbell about that. And Wales, I mean, it went through all of Wales. It changed the whole community. I mean, the old miners, they had to retrain all their mules. because they had gave them commands with cuss words in them. That's how they got them to do what they want. Now they all got saved. Now they wouldn't cuss, and the mules didn't know what they were talking about, and they had to go retrain the mules. And I mean, they had to do all these great things that happened to, bars and stuff just closed up because nobody would go there and visit them anymore. I mean, it changed the whole community, the whole area in Wales. And they asked Duncan Campbell about it. They said, well, man, after you had them big meetings, I mean, they had meetings and thousands of people get saved, just like you read about in Acts. They said, well, what did you do about follow-up? He said, we didn't have no follow-up. He said, when they got saved, they followed us. Huh, that's the way it ought to be. I'm going to tell you something about walking by faith, man. If you're walking by faith, if you've had saving faith and you've been justified by faith and you're walking by faith, the preacher don't have to run all over God's creation looking for you. You got your name on the church roll and you're running all up and down on Sunday. You can't show up at church. You're not at the prayer meetings on Wednesday night. You're not at church on Sunday night. And everybody's going, well, have you seen so-and-so? Do you know who so-and-so is? I mean, people join the church. They've been there 6 months. They don't even know who you are. Never met. The preachers didn't have to run all over the place looking for them. When they got saved, they followed Jesus. I mean, that's just the way it was. And it said right here, it's two blind guys. Don't give me that excuse. Well, I'm old, I'm feeble, I can't drive good, I can't get there. Said they were blind and they followed Jesus. If you want them bad enough, you'll get there, right? It was a deliberate act on their part. So here was, they had an experience saving faith yet, but they were already walking by faith when they followed after Jesus. And I believe that's still true today. Amen? Amen. Y'all with me? Just making sure everybody's breathing there. And then, of course, they had prayer. And look what it said. It said they followed Jesus, and it said they followed him crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Man, I mean, they're praying out to God. I mean, you know, to really pray, you got to believe. Harold was preaching on the message, Calling on God is one I was listening to yesterday, and this morning I put it on there, and he was talking about a church, and it was a big church, of course, 2,000 to 3,000 people showing up on Wednesday night prayer meeting. 2,000 and 3,000 people, and another pastor went to him and said, hey, pastor, he said, how do you get 2,000 to 3,000 people showing up on Wednesday night prayer meeting? He said, I'll tell you why. He said, because our people have truly believe that God hears and answers prayer. Our people truly believe that God hears and answers prayer. It puts the priority on that. I mean, man, Harold went on to say, he was talking about we don't have any power. We don't have any power in churches today because people don't have enough faith in God to trust God, that we trust in programs. And you know, just because you got a lot of things going on at church, you know, you got this ministry and that ministry and you got events and you got this going on and that going on, that doesn't mean that you really got faith in God, that God's really showing up in a powerful way. That's not an evidence of that. When God shows up, listen, there's some things that happen. He said, if we talked about power, he said, if we took all the power that the average church has today, turned it into nitroglycerin, put it on a blade of grass, it wouldn't have enough power to blow the eyes off a tick. I said, that's about the size of it. That's the truth, right? I mean, really, when we get down, I mean, prayer, so little do we pray. I mean, we say, there's cursory prayers, you know, Lord, we're about, bless this food we're about to eat, and, you know, Lord, here's my problem. I mean, really, just get down and pray. Listen, you were blind, and there was a man that you just heard, he probably could heal you. What would keep you from getting to him? If you had an issue of blood for 12 years, it was a crowd. I want you to know something about that crowd, that woman with the issue of blood. And there was other blind people in Jesus' day, and they didn't get healed. And that woman that had the issue of blood, there was other people that were have physical needs. And there was other people that bumped into Jesus, jostled into Jesus. It was a big crowd. Matter of fact, Jesus even asked the question. He said, who touched me? And the disciples said, during that event, they said, well, Jesus, I'm going to paraphrase it. Well, how do we know who touched you? Look at all these people. There's people everywhere bumping into you. But the one that got healed was the one that touched with faith. that Jesus could do something for them. Just listen, like I said, just coming to church, just going through a cursory prayer, going through the motions is a reason that God doesn't do anything in our life, because we don't have the belief that God can do something. Man, listen, we can have belief in that. We can have trust in that. We can put our, things can change. I mean, we pray to God, already got our mind made up that nothing's going to change. Well, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about this problem or that problem or this issue, but I don't think anything's going to change. Well, nothing. He said, listen to what he said right there. Look what he said. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now tell me why God's not answering your prayer. Huh? Tell me why God's not doing anything in your prayer life. According to your faith, be it unto you. See, you got to pray believing and leaving the rest of it up to God. Well, if God doesn't answer, if you pray in faith and you're believing and God doesn't answer, that's it. That's in His ballpark. I like what Harold said, but it isn't going to be because I didn't pray believing. I don't want it to be that problem. You know, I don't want it to be that problem. I want it to be the truth. Listen, these blind men, they pray and they heard and they believed, and Jesus asked them, and now they got sight. They got a new life. But now what? That woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus. She pressed through the crowd. She touched the hem of His garment. He talked with her a little bit, and he dealt with her sins, and He dealt with her spiritual, physical condition right there. But now what? Now what are you going to do? I heard a guy preaching the other day. He said, in order to walk by faith, that you have to have vision. Our definition said that, you know, faith cometh by hearing, hear by the word of God, and that we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I know what he might have been trying to say. I didn't get it out of that, but what he might have been saying, well, you know, you got to kind of vision what God can do or could do. But let me ask you something. You got an infinite God and a finite mind. Let me ask you something. Can you really imagine what God can do? Do you think we really get a vision on what God can do? I mean, God can pour out just a little drop about the size of a mustard seed, and we think that, oh man, look what that great thing God done. He can do a lot more than that. He can do a lot more than that. We're limiting God by our belief, not what He can do. It's the size of our faith. It's really limited by that. You remember that guy? You remember there was a man that had a demon-possessed son, and he was foaming at the mouth, and he was staggering around, and he fell in the fire and the water, and the disciples tried to deal with him, and they couldn't get it, the demon cast out, and Jesus was up on the mountain with Peter and John, and he come back down off the mountain, and they said, Master said, how come we couldn't cast that demon out? He said, this kind cometh forth but by prayer and fasting. So what does that tell us about the prayer life of the apostles? It wasn't what it could have been. Huh? There's some things that you can't do apart from prayer and fasting. If you wanted to preach on that side of it, I'm not. But I'm just saying there's some things, and there's definitely things that can't be done without prayer. Their prayer life wasn't what it should have been. And probably if your prayer life gets to where it should be, there would be fasting, because you wouldn't be thinking about eating. You'd be thinking about praying. And it'd be a lot more concerned, you know, the prayer would be more intense. You take those Welch revival when they was out in the field. You think somebody hollered cheeseburgers, everybody was going to get up and what they were doing, run and eat them. Uh-uh, man, they was in touch with God. And so there's things, listen, so it can't be done without prayer, right? What are we getting done? What are we getting done for God? It's not getting done because prayer life's not what it ought to be. See, so there's a difference between saving faith. Hey, we're trusting Jesus. How many, everybody in here? You trusting Jesus for your salvation? Everybody in here trusting Jesus for your salvation? All right, but now how's your walk? Are you walking by faith? See, now it's when we go day-to-day living and walking by that faith, not by sight. We have to walk. We have to believe. We have to trust. You know, if you got to think about it. I mean, if we're putting trust in Jesus to save us, that's a lot of faith right there. If we can trust Him enough to save us in the first place, we ought to be able to trust enough to follow Him. What if Jesus, this is a real simplified version of this test. What if Jesus wants you, tells you, commands you, is pushing you to do something that you don't think you can do? You know, how you finish that off is going to determine whether you really have saving faith. What if it's out of your comfort zone? I mean, if it's in our comfort zone, we don't need faith, right? If it's out of your comfort zone, that's where God's, what, you know, listen, if he enables you, if he calls you to do something, I think I got an illustration about that, he'll enable you to do it. Now, some of you folks is older in here. Here's a good illustration. I think it was in one of the devotion books this week. Anybody ever go anywhere with a lantern? You know, an old lantern, you know? Now, how far out in front of you do you see with a lantern? Matter of fact, sometimes a lantern gets in the way because it's kind of blinding you as to where you're going. You get out there walking around with the lantern, right? You got a lantern hanging in front of you and you walking along like this. You probably can't see to that door right there if it's dark, right? You just see right here in front of you with a lantern. You don't see the whole path, right? But when you take this step, you can see the next one. When you take that step, you can see the next one. When you take that step, you can see the next one. It's the same way with God. See, God is not going to say, okay, look, here's the whole plan. We got the route all figured out with the GPS. We got all the rest stops along the way figured out for you older men. We got, you know, the lunch breaks figured out and the rest areas and the hotel. And we got everything figured out along the way. You got that, didn't you, Larry? Yeah, we got we got it all figured out. And then now go ahead and you walk by faith. That's not walking by faith. That's walking by sight. You've already seen it. What it is with God said, listen, I just want you to step. I just want you to take one step, but I can't see. But if you take this step, you'll see the next one. I can't even see this step. You know that even happened. You know when the Israelites were getting ready to go in the Promised Land, God said, okay, listen, priest, everybody, you get the ark and everything, line up, y'all get in the front, because God's going first. And he got the ark up there, and everybody got lined up behind them, and the Jordan River was at flood stage, and God says, I want you to step into the water. Now, you can hear a Baptist now, right? It's flood stage. I don't know how to swim. I'm afraid of it. You got the Ark of the Covenant on your back, for crying out loud. I mean, this is a representation of God on earth. I mean, God's just going to let it sweep downstream and get lost forever? No. You got that. God told you to do it. But, fill in the blank. Huh? Isn't this a bad, this is how we do it, right? He said, listen, you know what happened? They stepped. And the water parted, stacked, well, on this side, I guess it went whichever way the river was running. And one side it stacked up. But it didn't happen until they stepped. See, it don't happen until you step. Now, you want to see God work. You want to see God work. You say, well, I'm going to have faith. God, show me the whole trip, and then I'll determine whether I think I can make it. And that's not faith. God said, listen, I just want you to step the first time without really knowing. He told Abraham, he said, Abraham, listen, I'm gonna pack up all your rags, get your family ready and everything, and I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you. He don't even know where he's going, right? He don't even know where he's going. The Israelites, I used that illustration a week or so ago, the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. Everybody's camped out. All of a sudden, the pillar starts to move. Let's go. Where are we going? I don't know. We're just following the cloud. We're following the fire. Where are you going? We're going where God's going. And I don't know about you, but I want to go where God's going. Where's God going? It don't matter. It'll be right. It'll be the best place. It'll be the right place. Just go where God's going. I want to go that way. That's faith. That is walking by faith. You can't see it all. Even with a flashlight, you get out on, you don't see the whole trail. You just see up there a little ways. You don't know what's lying on up ahead. You have to step first. Listen, the walking preceded seeing. You know, like I said, do what God did. It's a great verse in the Bible. Remember Jesus' first miracle. And it was a wedding, and they ran out of wine, and they said, okay, you're going to fill the water pots up, get all a bunch of pots. Well, the great verse in there was Mary, Jesus' mother. She didn't know. Jesus hadn't done a miracle yet and everything, but she knew something that Jesus was special by now. And he starts, all right, listen, she takes the problem to Jesus, good deal. And he said, he's getting ready to tell him what to do, get all the pots. Mary says to everybody else, he said, whatever he saith unto you, do it. Now, you know, the rest of the people, we're going to get a bunch of empty pots. We're going to fill them with water. He's going to turn it into wine. Whatever he says, do it. I don't care if it goes against your grain, if it goes against your leaning, if it goes against what you want to do, if it's out of your comfort zone, it doesn't matter. Just do it. That is saving faith. Whatever Jesus commands us to do, he empowers us to do. He commanded a crippled man in the Bible to stretch out his hand. We talked about this Wednesday night. He said, stretch out your hand. And when he commanded him to stretch out his hand, now the guy was, he had some kind of crippled up with his hand. He said, stretch your hand out. Now he could have said, well, I can't because I'm crippled. No, listen, God said, stretch it out. If he commands you to do it, the very command gives you the power to do it. The very command. And you think about anything in your life, fill in the blank. Our great commission as Christians to go in all the world, I just can't. Yes, you can. Because he empowered you to do it. He empowered you to do it. And I don't know any of the people I know have any trouble talking. They're good with that. And so whatever he commands to do, he empowers us to do. The word, God's word has the power of accomplishment in it. God's word has the power of accomplishment in it. And faith releases that power. Now, a little bit on Wednesday night, our Wednesday night Bible study. We've been having a good Bible study. I encourage you to come to that on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. And this is where we really learn something about walking by faith. But we're talking about the submissive mind, having the submissive mind. That's the key to joy, right? There it is. Three tools, the Word of God. Listen right here to the Word of God. Prayer, and then suffering. Suffering, one of the tools. And, you know, you think, man, suffering, that's a tool. What am I going to learn? To walk by faith. I love this illustration in the Bible. I'd like to preach on it every Sunday, but you guys probably get rid of me. Those three Hebrew children, they got thrown in a fiery furnace. Remember that? Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted to bow down to an image and worship the image. They said, no, we're not going to do it. And they said, well, listen, I'm going to give you another chance to make up your mind. You know, let's think about it. We're going to heat the furnace up. They said, we don't got to think about it. We got to settle. Well, you know, and I don't imagine I'm just filling in some stuff. Well, you might get burned up. All right, you get burned up. I'm trusting God. Well, you might die. That's okay. I'm trusting God. You might get rescued. That's okay. I'm trusting. I mean, you know, there's all the. It didn't matter because God's word said not to fall down and worship this idol. And they threw. And so, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he threw him in the fiery furnace. You know how the story goes. And they heated it up. It actually slew the man that took him down there. The men that took him to throw him in the fiery furnace. But then old Nebuchadnezzar looks and he said, "Didn't we put three in there?" He said, yeah. He said, well, there's four of them in there. And one of them, look, he's likened unto the Son of God. It was Jesus. It was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. And he said, the rest of them, they're walking around. They had them tied up. And it broke the bonds. There's a whole big message with that. But the thing was, what I want you to see is, if they had not have exercised faith, walking by faith, they would have not seen Jesus that way. You know, they would not have been walking with God if they hadn't have exercised that faith in that fiery furnace. And listen to God. You miss it. Without faith, without walking by faith, you miss the presence of God. Listen, I believe I need God every step of the way, every step of the way. I mean, right. But what I'm going to say, a person, I won't even use me, I'll say a person, you can walk through this room without God. People have. You can walk through here without God. But you're not walking in no fiery furnace without Him. You're not walking in a fiery furnace without God. And so, see, that's why they're suffering, and that's why we go through those trials because, yeah, you know, even though God led us to do those things, even though God led the priest down to the water, any part of the water in the fiery furnace didn't burn those guys, and man, they walked with God. That's when you see God walking by faith. Our problem is we don't trust God enough to walk by faith. Therefore, we don't see God or feel God is real in our life because we really won't trust Him through the times that seem hard and difficult enough to see Him. You got me? Did I make sense with that? I mean, I'm probably confusing myself. We just won't trust God enough to see God. We're not going to see Him in the easy time. We're not going to see God when we don't need Him. We're going to see Him when we need Him. And we've got to trust God. We've got to learn how to do that. How's your faith? Let me ask you, how is your faith? Or what kind of faith do you have? Are you sure about your salvation? Are you sure that you've really put trust in God for your salvation and nothing else? Are you trusting God for your justification, which is really closely tied to your salvation? But then what about walking by faith? We say, you know, man, listen, I haven't, well, that's fine. You know, just tell God about it. Tell him about it. Tell him to give you strength. Tell him to help you in that area right there. That's what we need to do. Confess, you know, talk to God. Be honest with God. That's what he wants. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want everything all clammed up inside, won't tell him anything. I mean, he knows, but he wants us to talk to him about it. Let's all stand with our heads bowed.